It was in chapter 12, Genesis, that Abram, I want to call him Abraham so bad. So if I do, you understand. Abram, they went on down to Egypt. Now, God didn't send them there. He and his wife and Lot and all the things. Remember, whatever they have. They headed down to Egypt because there was famine in the land. They were having troubles. Instead of trusting God, they went on down. You know how we are. Well, things are tough, so we went down. Now, we talked about that last time we got together. How he wasn't sent down there. The promised land was where he was, where he should have stayed, but he left it. Sometimes you and I do the same thing. We'll get ourselves into a situation, or maybe a situation pops up around us. We panic a little bit and we head back down to Egypt. Now, Egypt represents, throughout Scripture, you will see Egypt represents the world. So I have this tendency to think, oh, I'll be safe in the world. Oh, you know, this falling apart here, Lord, you promised, but we run back to the world. We want to be careful of that. Now, he leaves after he gets in a little bit of trouble. Remember, he lies about his wife. Well, his wife really is his half-sister. So he says, tell him you're my sister. And Sarai tells that lie. And he gets himself in a little trouble. And finally, it's taken care of. But he's made rich along the way. So we start chapter 13, verse 1 this way. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. Now, Lot, remember, is his nephew. You remember the command, get thee from thy country, from the friends, from thy nation, from your family, from your father's house. He was supposed to leave everything and go to this promised land. He took his father along. He took his nephew along. He didn't obey. He did get going finally. I won't do the whole study of chapter 12. But anyway, here we've got Lot with him still. And they're headed down. When they say south, remember, directions come from looking from Jerusalem. So Abram, verse 2, was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. Remember, he got quite a bit of that in Egypt. And he went on his journey. On his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. He's now a very wealthy man. You remember, the king thought this was his sister, so paid him huge amounts of cattle and gold and things. And then found out it wasn't his sister, kicked him out of the land, but told him he could keep all the stuff. So now Abraham's loaded, metaphorically speaking, of course. He's wealthy. He leaves Egypt, heads back on up into the promised land where he should have been to begin with. He goes just north of Jerusalem. Then he goes back there to Bethel. Remember, that word means house of God. Back to where he had built that altar between the cities of Bethel and the city of Ai, those two cities. He built that altar there. Remember, Abram was a worshiper of God. He worshiped God. And that was the testimony that he left everywhere he went, except, of course, Egypt. When he didn't leave that testimony down there. Testimony down there is Abram's a liar. So is his wife. But he heads back to the place where he built that altar. Listen, even though Abram has stumbled in his faith is not completely gone. And he goes back to the place, and there's that altar that he had built. He returns to his God. Did you hear that? Even though his faith faltered, even though he stumbled, he returns to his God where that altar is built, and he worships the Lord there. He returns to worship the living God. Now, I know you as a believer have never done this, but I have, and I know other believers who have, who they've stumbled. Their faith has really been shaky, and they've collapsed a little bit. And they think, oh my goodness, look at the condition I'm in. And they come running back to God. You know, just like the prodigal son. Maybe you and I have been around the pig pen, even wanting to eat with the pigs. But the prodigal son, remember, he returns to his father. Abram returns to the Lord. And the father's arms are wide open. to receive Abram. And the father's arms are wide open to receive his son, that prodigal son. And each time you and I stumble, because sometimes our faith is weak, go ahead, do this when you mean yes. And it isn't it? People go, well, let me put it this way. Sometimes my faith is weak and I can stumble. I have that tendency. And you come running back to God. And he sees you coming down the road, just like the prodigal son, like the father sees the son, and the father runs out to meet him. God's arms are wide open. So tonight, if maybe you have stumbled, wandered off, really gotten in the mud with the pigs even, come on home. Because your father's arms are wide open. You see, Jesus paid the price for your sin. And for mine. Now, you must be born again. You must truly belong to the Father. We need to give our hearts to Him. But if you have, and you notice that you're a little bit dirty and you've been out there running, come on home. Abram comes to the place where he built that altar and he worships God there. Between Bethel, which is house of God, and Ai, which is, do you remember that one? Place of ruin. Standing in between, there's a place where he worships the Lord. And verse 5. Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Both these guys are getting rich here. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not live together, dwell together, stay in the same place together. There was a strife, fighting between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. Excuse me, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. Oh, man. We see here that riches sometimes can not be all they're cracked up to be. They're not complaining that they're both wealthy. It's just running them into trouble with one another. You see, first of all, you got the Canaanites, and they've been there a long time. You've got Abram now. He's kind of passing through, he and Lot and the families and the goats and the sheep and the cattle and whatever they've got. And so, you know, you've got the Perizzites, you've got the Canaanites. And so a lot of this land is being used. And here you've got Abram and Lot, and they're together, and the herds are too big. So the herdsmen are, it looks like the language says, I'm just about going to fisticuffs. I mean, they're pushing each other around saying, look, this isn't working. You know, our sheep are here first. You've got to move yours because there's not enough grass for yours, and ours were here for it. And you've got a fight going on. Now, you've never seen that, I know, between Christians. But it does happen in other places. Aren't I being nice to you? They're arguing. They're in trouble. They're in each other's way. They are having disputes between the herdsmen. The flocks are trying to share the same fields, and there are too many for the fields. The flocks the fields can't handle it. And listen closely. Don't forget this part. Canaanites and the Perizzites are there. Not people from Paris, but Perizzites. So you see, so far, up to this point, so far, the witness has been Abram is a worshiper of God. The Canaanites, Perizzites, when they see him, he's building an altar and he's worshiping God. Now, you see, if you're fighting among yourselves, what are the Canaanites and the Perizzites going to see? Oh, these worshipers of God, they're just like we are, man. Look at them. Look at them fight. Look at them gossip. Look at them. They're beating up each other. Oh, yeah, we thought they were something special, but they're nothing. What a bunch of hypocrites that Abram's family is and that Lot's family is. See, the Canaanites, everybody, if you want to bring it up to my life today and your life today, I want you to know the truth is the Canaanites and the Perizzites are watching you. And I've heard them talk. Come on to church. I'm not going there. It's filled with hypocrites. If I want to fight, I can stay out here. I mean, my best friend, they just had a church split at their church, and they're all mad at each other, and they're not speaking. They're fighting. Remember in chapter 12, when we learned where Abraham would go, he would build an altar. And the testimony he left was a testimony to the Lord that he worshiped the Lord and belonged to the Lord. Isn't that the testimony that you and I want to leave wherever we go? That we belong to the Lord, that we worship God. Not that we're perfect in every way. We are not. And we admit that we're not. And that's why Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, became flesh and dwelt among us and died on the cross of Calvary, because we are sinners. None of us are saying that we've arrived yet, because we haven't. But Jesus has. He has paid the price. So we've got lives to live that are important to live in the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Canaanites are watching. And the witness that we want to have is that when they need to be able to say they follow the living God. They may not know him. They may not agree with him. They may not like him. They may not care one way or the other. But at least they should be able to say about you and I, about Abram and Lot, they worship God, the living God. We don't know him, but we know they are different. Something about them is different. But you got to fight among family here. See, when Christians fight one another, even though it is wrong and scripturally forbidden that we fight with each other, there's a greater wrong being done, even greater than just you and me at odds, butting heads. The Canaanites and the Perizzites are watching. And that's the witness that they're going to get. Hey, they are watching you at work. You know how they've been laughing at you, making fun? You say, I'm a Christian. They go, oh, yeah, Christians, yeah, you guys are weird. And you're But they're watching. What are they seeing? Are they seeing when you do make a mistake, that you admit your mistakes? Are they seeing that when other things are going on around the office, you're not a part of those things that the Lord wouldn't want you to be a part of? Are they seeing that? Are they saying, well, you know her, you better not tell these jokes around her. She's just going to walk away. She won't listen. Is that what, is that the witness that you have? That's the thing that Abram is concerned with here. And of course, all of us should be concerned with it. So, Abram mentions it. Verse 8. Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are family. Do you hear that, Christian? We shouldn't fight. There should be no strife between us. We're family. And I've told you this, but let's say it again. You can pick your friends, but you are stuck with your family, aren't you? Look around. Take a moment. This is it. They're out there too. You'll run into them. And we got to learn how to live with them. If you're fighting with one of them, your first billion years in heaven is going to be miserable, because you know they're going to live right next door. Come over every morning at 6. We never sleep here. Got anything to eat? Oh, there he is. He bugged me on earth. He says, verse 8, Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herd, for we are brothers, we're family. Is not the whole land before you, before thee? Separate yourself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. This shouldn't be. He says it shouldn't be. We're brothers. We're family. We cannot have fighting between us. We need to work this out. We need to work this through. Isn't that what we're taught in the New Testament? Aren't we taught that? Notice that it's the Christian who really is truly a Christian. Notice it's the Christian who goes to try and take care of the situation. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, I'm thinking specifically of Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 there. When Jesus says, when you bring your gift before to the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, what does he say to do? Leave there your gift and do what? Go to your brother, sister, go to that one and do what? Make it right. Work it out. Get through this. And then come back and offer what you're going to offer. Later on, he's going to say this. Now, that's if you remember, oh, so-and-so's upset with me. I better go fix this. Well, you know what? Aren't we guilty of not doing that sometime? Don't raise your hand. Just nod. Aren't we? If we would do it perfect, I mean, things would be smoother, but we are a little bit nervous. We're afraid of how it's going to go. It's going to make us look a little weak or a little bit less intelligent than we already look. And we're, you know, there is always a reason why we don't listen to God. And then we're sorry that we didn't listen. So when your brother's got something against you, what do you do? Okay. This two-fifths of the room, when your brother has something against you, what do? See? Do you feel bad now? But later on, we are told, later on in Matthew, read chapters 18 and 19 together. Now, if you've got something against your brother, you say, you know, he's a jerk. He's done this. He has said this. I'm upset. And the Bible says, if you've got something against your brother, what should you do? So if he's got something against you, you. And if you've got something against him, you. He never does anything. You go to him. Now, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, if you see your brother or another Christian brother, sister, overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, do what? Go to them. So if you're in the right, you go to them. If you're in the wrong, you go to them. If you see a problem, you go to them. What do they do? Say it with me. Nothing. That's N-O-T-H-I-N. Got it? Because if you're going to wait for them to do something, and me and you are both going to wait to do something, we'll never work it out, will we? He owes me an apology. Well, she did it. She started it. That sounds like me and my whole family when we were kids. It wasn't me. Yeah, he started it. He's 6 months old, Bob. Yeah, but still. He did. Should have known him. This isn't honoring to the Lord, Abram says. It's doing none of us any good at all. This witness is being destroyed. The Canaanites and the Perizzites are watching. Romans 12:18. If you want to write down scripture. Romans 12:18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So what are we told? As much as it lieth within you, as much as lieth within me, I need to try and make it right. If I come to you and try to make it right, and you will not say, oh, it's no problem. In other words, I need to do what God wants me to do. You need to do what God wants you to do. We can't be responsible for what happens at the other end. Because many times you'll say, I'm sorry. No, you're not. Where do we go from here? I can take you. I got a broken nose once. You can't be responsible for what comes back. But you must be responsible for what goes out. Now, I know we are weak at this. This is a scary thing. But Abram is wise here. And not only is he wise, and not only is he scriptural, but he is showing his faith has been strengthened. He is showing some amazing faith here. What do I mean? Well, come on, let's just be honest and look at what's going on. I'm Abram, you're not. No, I'm just joking. You're Lot. You guys, come on. Come on. You can make this easy or you can make it hard. I kill me. Here's what I could say. God promised me this land. Get off it. Love ya. It's nothing personal. This is mine. This is what he promised. Didn't God promise to Abram? All this is yours and to your seed, not Lot's. Didn't even want you to bring him along. I told you to leave your family and get going. Yeah, you know what, Lot? I'm sorry. It's nothing personal against you, but I disobeyed God. You shouldn't even be here. Get out. This is my property. These are my sheep. God gave them to me, and so you need to find another place. Couldn't he have said that? Would it have been correct? No, I'm not asking was it right. Would it have been correct to say this is promised to me and this is mine? Yes, it would have. He could have said that. It's my territory, my turf. God gave it to me. You get out. You go away. You stay away from here. Write letters. I'm called here. You go somewhere else. Instead, look at the faith of this man. Amazing to me. We need to separate. There's not enough room here for us to say we can't fight. We love one another, and this is no good for family. And Canaanites and Perizzites are watching. This is not the way to honor God. So you choose. Abram. He has the sure promises of God. You know what? So do you, Christian. So do I. If we're truly born again, we've got the sure promises of God. Don't we? We do. So Abram, with the sure promises of God, says this, my God has promised. My God will keep his promise to me. He will keep his word. Always, always, always. He will keep his word. So in faith, he says, this is no good. I don't want us to fight. You choose. You pick. You take what you want, and I'll take what's left. Now, is that faith? Because God promised it all to me. But you know what? I don't want this between us. You take what you want. You choose whatever. And whatever you choose, if you go that way, I'll go that way. If you go that way, I'll go that way. Whatever you choose. Lot, I'll just let you pick. Even though it's rightfully mine, I'm going to let you choose. And basically, he's humbling himself and putting Lot first. Isn't he? Isn't that faith? Doesn't that take faith? Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So what Abram is doing is scriptural. It's what the Lord would want him to do. We should humble ourselves and learn to esteem others better than ourselves. Let them go. Let Lot choose. Well, yeah, but, Lot, what if he chooses the best? That's all right. Because the truth is, here and now, we have God's promises, God's sure promises. We don't have to try and get for ourselves. We can let others go first. We can let others take. We can let others move on. Because we can trust God. If God says, you'll have the land, Abram, then Abram figures, I'm going to leave that to God. I believe him. That's faith. Now look what happens. You probably know the story already, but still, look what happens. Lot, verse 10, lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, and that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. A little side note there. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you come unto Zoar. Lot chose him, verse 11, all the plain of Jordan. Lot journeyed east. They separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. We shouldn't fight. We're family. This is no good. The witness is wrong. What people need to see, Abram's saying, is we honor the Lord. We worship the Lord. We do things the way the Lord God Almighty, the living God, would have us do them. So he says, we can't fight. You choose. Lot, I love you. You take what you want, and I'll take what's left. In faith, he humbled himself. So Lot looked around. He's been looking. I mean, he didn't just look and go, oh, wow, over there. No, he's been looking. They've been through this country a few times, traveling. And he looked and he thought, you know, the Jordan Valley there. If you look from where they were, if you just look southeast, it was beautiful and green. The Bible says, just like the Garden of Eden, just like the Garden of the Lord. Because remember, this is before Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. We're telling you what's coming. He says, before they were destroyed. So you see, Lot looked down there, and this place is super green. Perfect spot for raising cattle, sheep, growing things. I mean, man, all the water you want, it's perfect down there. So Lot says, I'll take that. He heads south, southeast, towards the beautiful green plains. It's called the Jordan Valley. Toward Sodom and Gomorrah, a couple of large cities down there on the border. By the way, it all looked beautiful. It all looked perfect. I mean, you look here where we're at. This is a little rough. You look down there. It's green. And oh, my goodness, look at that. That's the place to be. Perfect. Plenty of water everywhere. Beautiful green. Just a perfect spot. And then there's that minor chord. Because we're reminded here, that was before God destroyed the place. You always read that in the minor key. Remember that? The Bible says, so Lot headed down there. And it tells us something amazing. And he pitched his tent towards Sodom. It's a beautiful area down there. Literally, over near Sodom. He is not in the city. He pitched his tent over near the city. Now, I don't want to ruin the story for you, but I've read on. And the next time we see Lot, he doesn't live outside the city anymore. He lives inside the city, and he's one of the governors of the city. Okay, point is so clear. I mean, wow. If I just start pitching my tent a little bit toward that area, soon I'm going to be consumed by, if I get close, there are some people who like to, they'll say, I'm a Christian, but they love to live near the border, near the edge. Now, and you've heard me say this, and it's true. Don't all of us fall down every once in a while? As a Christian, don't we fall down every once in a while? Don't you? I do. Now, if I'm close to the Lord and I fall down, he just picks you up, dusts you back off, and you get going. But if you're close to the edge, what happens? I've told you the story about the farmer who had that apple tree, big old apple tree. It grew right on the edge of his property. The fence was there, but the apple tree grew. And, of course, almost half of the tree was hanging off his property. And he was losing money because the children that would come by or the people that would come by would bring sticks, and they would bang on the limbs because it was so tall, and knock the apples off, and he was losing the profits. He tried at first to put a basket over there and try to hit the branches after the kids had gone to school, but it was too complicated. So he would really have people hold the baskets, and he would just bang on the tree and shake the tree. Notice the tree is getting beaten from both sides. How many of you are willing to admit it? You're living right on the edge. And you're taking a beating from the Spirit who is convicting your heart. And you're taking a beating from the world because you're right on the edge. Get in. Come all the way in. He pitched his tent over near that city. What do I know about the city? Well, verse 13 says, the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. That means literally wicked and sinners with muchness. That's what it literally means. Muchness. Greatly. And in the language of some today, to the max. That's how gross the sin was. Practically like New York and San Francisco here. It wasn't to the level of San Francisco and New York, but it was getting there in Sodom. You know, he looked out there and it looked great. Did you hear that? It really looked good. It's going to hurt him. Sin will do that. It looks great. What's that old saying? The grass is always greener until you get there and find out it's artificial turf. It really does look good, but you get there and it just doesn't work like you thought it was going to work. It looks great. You try it, and you get in there, and you're in over your head, and you don't understand now why you're collapsing and falling apart. It looked great. It's not going to work. It's not going to work for Lot. He's going to be in trouble. Trouble is waiting there. You can't see it now, but probably many of you have read the story already. You can't see it, but you know what's coming. Lot's going to find out the hard way, and Lot will be sorry because some of the things and some of the attitudes that he picks up living in Sodom are going to show when the angels show up and are going to show after his wife's turned to a pillar of salt and after the fact. Remember when he gets his daughters pregnant. Some of the things that he learned from being in that city are going to cost him. So you and I want to be careful. If I pitch my tent near it, there's this dangerous chance that I'll be in it soon. If you pitch your tent near, then you know trouble's coming. And the danger is you could be in it soon. So you want to be careful. Stay close to the Lord. How do I do that? Well, we'll talk about that in a second. But what I was going to say is simply this. The answer to that question is walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you reading your Bible? Hardest thing for a Christian to do for some reason. Read your Bible. Are you reading it? Are you praying daily to have fellowship, communion with the Lord? It is a relationship. When you talk to the Lord, do you have to introduce yourself every time? We need a relationship with Him. I need to read my Bible. You need to read your Bible. We need to pray. We need to learn His ways and grow in Him. Well, watch this. Verse 14 says, and the Lord said to Abram. You see, you think, oh, God, did God walk away from Abraham or Abram when Abram went down and lied about his wife and that whole Egypt trip thing? No, remember the father accepted him with open arms. And the Lord said to Abram, verse 14, after Lot was gone from him, separated from him, lift up now your eyes. Just lift your eyes up and look. From the place where you are, look northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. He's repeating the promise. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent, came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar to the Lord. Down in Hebron now. He's headed down south. That's about 22 miles south of Jerusalem. He builds an altar to worship the Lord. God says to Abram, after Lot is gone, lift up your eyes and look. Look to the north, the south, the east, and the west. Just take a look. For it is all yours, just as I have promised. Even where you can look and see where Lot is, you know, you can see those cities of the plain in that area. You look north, south, east, and west. It's all yours. I've given it to you. I promised it to you. And not only is it yours, listen closely, it is your children's. Not only is it your children's, but it's your children's children for how long? Forever. As long as that land is there, it belongs to you and your children and their children and their children. Your seed and your offspring, your children will be like the dust of the earth. Doesn't mean they'll be dirty kids. Well, it means that's how many there will be. Now, you know, have you ever seen dust? You know, you want to see dust, you got to get to Arizona. Up here, you guys got wimp dust, you know. But Arizona, I mean, you know, you dust something and give it 2 minutes and there it's back. And you can just do like that and you can see. Dude. Can you imagine trying to count all those little pieces of dust? That's what God says. All the dust that's in the entire earth, you'll have that many children. If you can count the number of dust particles, you can count the number of kids. It's going to be lots. Not lots. Lots. It's going to be lots, like bunches. Difficult language. 22 miles south of Jerusalem, Hebron, he builds another altar. God says, walk around. Take a look. This is all yours. Did Abraham ever get it? Did he ever get the land? Tell me. He never did. He never did. He went on home. Got old, and we'll read that. He never did. Did Israel get all the land that God promised them? They never have yet. Got about 30,000 square miles. And God promised them just a little bit. I'm getting ahead of myself. That's way on down the road. But God promised them a little over 300,000 square miles of land. To this day, they're at right around 30,000 of it. So what is that, about a tenth? So God's going to keep his promise, you guys, in case you're wondering. He will do it. God's promises are sure. It's going to happen. Worship the Lord. Abram was a worshiper of the Lord God. Here he worships God. Why? Because of God's promises. Notice, everyone, the difference between Lot and Abram. Lot walked by sight. And Abram walked by faith. Lot said, now that's the place to go. Look at that. And he walked by sight. Abram walked by faith. We are also called to walk by faith, aren't we? Not by sight. Isn't that what Scripture teaches us? We are to live by faith, trusting in the Lord and the things that he's promised us, even in this world that we live in today. As ugly as it is, as difficult as it is, he told us, trust me. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And since I'm going, I'm coming back. I'm going to come back and get you. That where I am, there you may be also. You go, where are you going? Where are you? He told you that a few verses before that. It's John chapter 14. You can find it yourself, starting in verse 1. John chapter 14. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. A lot of places to live. And I'm going to prepare one for you. Since I'm going, I will come back and get you, that where I am, you could be also. Christian, you will be in heaven. I've heard it taught that nowhere does the Bible say that Christians will be in heaven. Right there in John chapter 14, it's perfectly clear. Yeah, that's where we'll be. Because we're so good. No. Why? Because he is good. Aren't you thankful for God's grace? I didn't have to do anything when I accepted the Lord. I didn't have to know anything. And I didn't know anything. And I don't know much now. Yet it was free. Free gift. To have eternal life.
We're to live by faith, trusting in God's word, trusting in his promises. Do you know what his promises are to you? You should. Read through your Bible. Don't believe everything you see or hear on the radio or on television or on CDs or internet or DVDs or Read your Bible. Let the Lord speak to your heart. We need to walk in faith. Listen, not wavering. Standing fast in the power of the Holy Ghost. Walking in faith with the Lord our God through Jesus Christ, his Son. That's what Abraham is doing. That's what you and I are called to do. 2 Corinthians 5:6 says, in parentheses, we walk by faith, not by sight. Lot saw that it was beautiful, but Lot's going to be in trouble. It's going to hurt him. Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And then finally, Galatians 3:11. And I know that you've got that one memorized, right? That no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Let's do one more. Hebrews 10, verses 38 and 39. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we, Christian, we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but we're of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We trust in God today. We ask him to strengthen us. When we get up in the morning, if he gives us tomorrow, we say, Lord, fill me with your spirit and take me through this day. Let me walk with you. Give me the strength and the courage. Give me the gifting. Give me what I need today to do your will, whatever it is. If it's a day off, give me the grace to not do anything. Whatever you say, Lord. Abram was a man of faith. Abram was wise in not wanting to fight with his family, with his brother. Realizing it's no good for us, and it's certainly no good for the Perizzites and the Canaanites who are watching. We need to think about them as well. He humbled himself and put the other first and said, you choose. Because God has promised to me, I will trust in God. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, any person come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross every day, and follow me. Read through, it's a short chapter, we'll stop. Read through it, see if it really says that. Pray about it. Let's bow our heads.